Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us, and I am so excited to jump back into part two of this special two-part interview that I had recently with Marnie Swedberg. Folks, I am telling you, when you hear the information that Marnie is sharing in this portion of the interview, I mean, you'll want to grab your Bible, run around the house 47 times shouting hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Marnie Swedberg, she's the author of 13 books, the host of the number one ranked blog talk radio program, Marnie's Friends Talk Radio, Perspective Transformation, and the founder of womanspeakers.com, among a lot of other things. Praise God. Well, let's not waste any more time. Amen. Let's jump back into this interview now with Marnie Swedberg.
So for me, one of my greatest strengths is organization. When I wrote my book, Marnie's Kitchen Shortcuts, I did book tours, and one of the major metro food editors was talking to me, and she sat down across from me in this huge conference room, and she says, "Okay, I have read so many books. You must be the most organized person I have ever met." So, I mean, when I say it's a strength, it's a strength. But the downside of being a highly organized person is inflexibility. Yeah. It's this desire to have all the ducks in a row all the time, to have things planned out far in advance, mm-hmm. to not have to go with the flow. And God has really worked with me on this area of weakness to take this highly organized person and have her become so flexible that now I can roll with so much. It amazes me. And we have just gone to a new church for the last year because our other church closed. It was more like a missions ministry, and God moved the leaders on. So right during COVID, it closed, and we found this new church we've gone to for a year. And my pastor, who has only known me for this year, he continually says to me, "I can't believe how flexible you are." And every time he says it, I think, "Go, God."
Amen.
That did not come naturally.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, that's probably when someone asks me what one of my major strengths are, it's organization. Because that, you know, they used to laugh in the office because if someone came in and just used my stapler and put it back down, I'd walk in and sit behind my desk. "Who touched my stapler?" Because it's not angled exactly right type thing. You know, that's not, you know, OC.
I don't know, because I'm not a perfectionist.
I'm not like that. Yeah, but
I'm not a perfectionist at all, but I'm so
when it comes to planning and execution, you know, like if I'm doing a training online for someone, you know, I mean, I go through this weeks in advance and rearranging the slides and, you know, "Oh, I don't like the color on this," you know, because I want it perfect. But then it comes to the point where, you know, I'm saying, "Let me go through this one more time." The Holy Spirit say, "No, it's fine.
Enough.
It's fine." You know, amen. I can relate to everything you're saying so well. So I love the chapter you wrote, "How to Be Humble and Not Brag About It." And I know a lot of people that should take that to heart. Explain that to us.
You know, it used to drive me crazy that the only way I heard humility talked about was if you ever start thinking you're humble, you're not.
You're not.
But the way that I, and a lot of this is perspective again. So I believe that God is a loving father. Now, as a loving parent, I try to be a loving parent myself. I never set my children up for sheer frustration for their entire future. Okay. I would never say, "Here's the goal, and it's impossible for you to ever tell if you're making progress." Mm. You know, that's just ridiculous. He wouldn't set it up like that. So while I agree that a lot of people who think they are humble simply aren't, I also love Elizabeth Elliot's definition of humility, which is flexibility. And coming off of the conversation we just had about my greatest strength and my greatest weakness, This just directly hit my heart. And I thought, while I am unable to identify if I'm becoming more humble, okay, I agree, that's hard to identify. I can identify if I'm being inflexible. That I can identify. And so it made it possible for me to actually see God changing me, see God flowing through me when I recognize that I am flexible and I know that that is not natural, that that's not coming from my own strength or ability, but that is God living through me. And I love that. I just wrote on page 29, anytime we do life without God's power flowing in and through us, we are playing at life. You mentioned that you had taken flying lessons, and so have I. I didn't get as far as you did. but I was taking flying lessons when I was a single adult, and one day I was taking care of the youth pastor's two little boys. They were like 2 and 4 years old, just tiny little guys, but I had access to a private airport because of that. And so I thought, let's take them to the airport. So I took these two little guys to the airport, and this was way before 9/11. And they just played in the cockpit. They went from plane to plane, and I set them in there, and they pretended they were flying the plane. And we just had a lot of fun at the airport that day. But what never happened is a flight. Right. No engine ever turned on. We never went anywhere. We just played in the cockpits. And I feel like without God in the center of our lives, we're just playing at life. And it's when God's power is flowing through us that we're really living, that we're taking off, that we're making progress. And in doing so, we have two opposing options. We can say, wow, look at me, I'm flying. Amen. That's pride. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, wow, look at us go. Without you, I would still be down on the tarmac. Yeah. It's the difference between pride and humility is whether I'm doing it for God or whether he's doing it through me.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's a good example. Praise the Lord. Now, you also discuss 6 different types of prayers that we should be praying. Can you explain a few of those types for us?
Sure. And just a second.
Because you also frame it as breathing the air of prayer.
The air of prayer, right.
The dolphins and all that. But amen.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find this here real quick. That's so funny. I love it.
It's awesome.
Well, I'm finding
hard questions.
I know. I'm finding 5 ways to meditate. You know, the thing about writing a book, it was so interesting too when I was writing the Kitchen Shortcuts book. It took me 2 years to write down what I was doing every single day.
Oh, wow.
Because it's one thing to do it yourself. It's another thing to teach it.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so so the ways to pray, yeah, I don't know. I know they're in this book and they're awesome, but I can't actually find them at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure what they are, but what I know is that there are so many ways to worship God, and there are just countless actually ways to do it. I think through scripture prayers is one of them, and sitting down, you know, I'm just going to just off top of my head, I might not come up with 6 or might have 8, but you know, the ways that I pray is just an arrow prayer, like Jesus, 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 help, help, help. I call that my 911. That's where I just go. Anytime I feel desperate, I just am saying the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then the next level after that is a conscious praise prayer, where that's like, Philippians, where it talks about don't worry, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, yeah. You know, that's the next one. And that's also kind of an in the moment prayer where you're feeling this worry, but you're casting it to Christ. Just a period of praise, just praising God, taking time to offer praise. And especially when it's a sacrifice of praise, when it looks like there's really nothing to be thankful for right now, but I choose to praise God. Right. Another one is just that that saturating time with him where you're praying, you're sitting down, you're focusing on prayer, that appointment that you have in the morning, Bob, those kind of times. Another time is corporate prayer, where we get together with a two or three or even a group of people and we pray together. And there are other ways too. I think that the key here is that as many different types of days and moments you have in your life, I would say that's as many ways as there are to pray. What I was trying to do in feeling loved was to open our eyes to the amazing nature of God and that He is always present and available with us. I just almost choke up when I think of that. This year has been so intense. Even at this very moment, the people in New Orleans, yep, in Haiti, in Afghanistan, and even in my own family are suffering. And it is so encouraging and helpful for me and comforting for me to know that God is present and available to every human on planet Earth, mm-hmm, all the time.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And when we understand that God cares for the Muslim man in Afghanistan, He still cares for his soul. If there's, absolutely, someone there that can reach that person for Christ, He'll move heaven and earth to get their paths to cross. And whether or not He accepts the Lord or not is on that person, right, but He will hear the gospel, right, message from somewhere. And that's what, when I was thinking about going into the missions field way back in 1999 when I graduated from Bible school. But my calling into the ministry was from Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3, where the Lord specifically told Ezekiel, I am sending you to the people of your own nation. I'm not sending you to a people of a language you do not understand. If I sent you to them, they'd listen. But I'm sending you to your own nation because they don't want to hear.
Beautiful.
And I've had opportunities, I say, hey, can you come over here? I can't. Why? Because it's not my calling. I mean,
exactly.
I went 7 miles across the northern border and the southern border to participate in a meeting. And I got to speak on the stay on the platform. But it wasn't my meetings. I was there, yeah, in support of Dr. Bernard Johnson on the southern border, went to Juarez, Mexico. And then I was up at a prayer meeting in Lubbock, Maine, which is the easternmost city in the continental United States. And one of the pastors there was going to hold a prayer meeting the next day just across the border in Canada, named Thibodeau. Of course, I'm from Canada. So I said, sure, I'll come over to that. And then he said, would you stand up and say a few words? So
sure.
I did, but I did not plan,
right,
on my meetings over there. So, I've had to turn down opportunities to,
right,
to go travel like that to speak the word because that is not my calling. And I do not want to operate at all outside of my calling because that becomes me and not Jesus.
Right, right. And that's the big difference, right? So Moses said it so clearly. He's having this conversation with God and God says, well, just take them then. Just take them. You just take them forward from here. And Moses says, hey, if you aren't going with me, I'm not going because you, exactly, are the distinguishing, yep, difference.
Yep. Amen. That's true.
Yeah. We can play at life or we can live with eternity in view and actually make an eternal difference.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. Now, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you've included a personality test in your book.
I have, because this was so cool. I've done so many personality tests. I love personality tests. And the reason I do is because it frees me to view others as unique and different from me instead of wrong. So what happens when we don't understand the personalities and the love languages is that we just think that everybody else is wrong. Why are they so weird? But when we understand that God has intentionally made us different like this, then we actually get to embrace that and actually nurture the other people's temperaments and personalities types and we're even worship styles. So yeah, in the book I have the personalities of worship. And it's really interesting. So I created a personality test that you can get at marnie.com. So I work a lot with women's ministry leaders and Christian women speakers, connecting those two groups. So I've done a lot of women's ministry leadership myself, as well as training. And so I have this one-page personality test that you can do with your group. And it has the key right there. So it's very easy. But there's four basic personality types that we talk about in that test. So it's the fun personality, the leader, the organizer, and the stabilizer. And so these four personalities also have different worship styles. Like the fun personality loves to talk, and listening for a long time is kind of tough on them. Their conversations with God are real animated, and they're doing a lot of talking there. their Amen. Prayer life is like their life. It's constantly on, but yet real sporadic, just up and down all around. A leader in worship, whereas this is going to be somebody who works really hard to make sure that they don't miss out on enjoying God. So the leader is going to have real scheduled prayer times and group times of prayer. And they sometimes struggle because God doesn't want to do it their way, mm-hmm. but they're worshiping with God in their own way. And then the organizers in worship, they feel most grateful to God when they realize that things are on time and going as planned. They love being near to God, like in nature, usually. They also love an organized rhythm, like music frees us to worship with our whole hearts. Sometimes we feel disappointed with God because he's not keeping our agenda, but that's just part of how we worship. We have to release that and go on. We just love structure. A stabilizer in worship, really, prayer is the central point of their peace, and they love to soak in God's word and in quiet prayer. They memorize prayers that comfort them, and they share those. So our different personalities really matter. I, as a worship leader myself in our church, I learned that some people love coming in and having a rousing song to get them going. The stabilizers really find that very jarring. They would really love to come in and have some quiet music playing and then move into more of an upbeat. You know, so as we recognize that different people have different needs, even in how they communicate and relate to God, we can be more sensitive and not just always have, well, like as an organizer, I kind of would rather just always start with a rousing song and then always end with a quiet song. And God has just taught me to be more flexible, listen to the Spirit, because there's some days when he needs the stabilizers to have their way.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And that is so true, because all these personalities you're talking about, I mean, I can identify with them, I guess you could say, because, you know, I learned my first job in the ministry. Was working for Dr. Vernard Johnson. He was a gospel saxophonist. We did 48 concerts in 48 cities in 1 year. Oh. And some from doing it in churches with 200 people to, you know, the Oklahoma City Civic Auditorium where they play basketball, you know, the college plays basketball, to, you know, having 6,000 people in attendance. And it was so, he had his set schedule. You know, we came in, set up started at noon, sound checks at 3, the doors opened at 6.
Right. Right.
Know, and the warm-up groups would start at 7. He took the stage at 8, and at 9:20, you know, if he was still out there doing his ministry, I was supposed to either catch his attention from the wings or actually walk out on stage, you know, not up to him, but walk out where he couldn't miss me. And that would tell him he needs to wrap it up. You know, type thing, right? Because we had to clear the auditorium by 11. so stuff like that. So, but, and then he had his own television program. He made me a producer on it. So, you know.
And you're down to the second on that.
Yeah. I mean, whole new thing. I mean, that is time management.
And there's a place for all of this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's where I learned, about, you know, the radio and what we do I told you about, you know, being on nationwide AM radio. And again, that's down to the second. They did not want you submitting a program that was 28 minutes long if you only had 27 minutes and 40 seconds.
Right.
That was it.
You know, I like to think of God too. He is the macro manager and the micro manager. Yeah. He can both do the 400 years from now, Abraham, and 400 years after that, Jesus comes. And he can also do right down to the microsecond of changing your driving path to avoid an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
He is that big of a God.
Amen. Amen. So when someone reads your book, what's the first thing they should do? Take the personality test first?
You know what? It's the kind of book that you can just grab a chapter that, you know, that catches your attention, whether it's how do I deal with my feelings or like, I want to be honest about this. I don't think God's really loving or, you know, whatever it is. Just grab the chapter that jumps out at you or just start at the beginning. You can do it as a Bible study with a group. There's a lot of prayers in there that the way that the prayers came about, I just have this really trusting relationship with God. And as an author myself, now I wasn't a very good example of this today because I haven't had this book in my hand for a little while. I wrote it several years ago. It's still a favorite. But as an author of a book, I know my way around the books. I'm human, so not as well as God knows his way around. But he knows his way around the Bible very well. And what I came during a period of time, God had me spending 20 hours a week as a part-time job intercessing for my city. I would just spend 20 hours a week at that point in my life praying for my city. And I kind of got like, I don't know what to pray. And God would just put passages in my head. He would just put a verse, I'm just going to share a little bit from a praising God for direction prayer. Sure. This one has verses out of Psalms, Jeremiah, Proverbs, Hebrews, and Genesis, and all over Genesis and all over Psalms. But what I would either get a verse in my head, or if I didn't get a verse in my head, like, you know, James 4:10 or something, I would actually just open my Bible and put my finger down. Yeah. And I would actually write the verse scripture reference down before I began to pray it, so that I would just say, I trust you enough that this is what I'm supposed to pray. Well, over time, I had dozens of these scripture prayers very specifically for my city and for myself and my family. So on page 96, there's a prayer of praising God for direction. It starts like this: God, my guide, you are leading me on. How amazing that you busy yourself with my every step, directing and establishing the exact direction in which I should go. I delight to know that the determination of my ways is not in me. It is not in me, in a strong man, or even in a man at his best to direct his own steps. My steps are ordered by you. You don't even expect me to understand my way. Your only desire is that I trust and obey. God, my God, forever you are guiding, leading. And it goes on like that. And God put together these prayers during a very special period of time in my life, when I was just spending a lot of time praying for others, and he gave me this gift of personalized prayers. Some of them have spaces that are open that you can put the names of your family or your friends right into the blanks and pray for them. And others of them are prayers that you can pray for yourself in a time of sadness or trauma or loss.
That's awesome. Amen. Amen. How can someone get a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon.com or my website, Marnie.com. You can find all of my resources there. Lots of stuff for free over there too. Lots and lots of stuff for free, especially for people who are called to actually be communicators and leaders, whether you're an author, speaker, maybe you're a Bible study leader, a women's ministry leader, a pastor, anything like that. There's stuff for everybody, but God has especially called me to mentor leaders. And so that's my heart. And I've just got a ton of free stuff as well as some stuff for a price over there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, before I let you go, I want to talk about womanspeakers.com. What made you form this specific speaker?
You were telling me your story earlier, and I was just resonating so much with it because it's just how God calls me into new paths. So I was just minding my own business one day, and I saw this blue clickable US map in my brain. It had a clickable, when you would press on a state, it would light up. And I thought, what in the world is that doing in my head? And I came to understand that God saw in the world that there were speakers' bureaus for the big churches who could afford to fly in a speaker for their events. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of pastors available to do pulpit supply. But when it came to women's ministries, if you were in a smaller church or a smaller community, or you just didn't have the capacity to fly somebody in, you really were up a creek. You basically had to know somebody who was a speaker or have a missionary coming through. Yeah. Otherwise, you didn't have anybody to speak at your mother-daughter tea or your conference or retreat or whatever. And so God put in my heart that this was something that was on his heart, that he would like the women's ministry leaders to be able to find speakers who were located near them, who would be willing to come and share with their group. And so that's what I started. And just like you, I had no idea how to do any of it. God had to teach me how to do all of it, but he has, and now it's grown to over 1,200 speakers, thousands and thousands of planners, been doing this since 2002, and just stand in awe of what God does.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. 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 And tell us about your podcast. How long have you been hosting Marnie's Friends?
So started in 2009 at Blog Talk Radio. But before that, I was doing teleconferences, which we do telewebinars on the phone. Everybody would hang out on the phone for an hour or whatever and do a training on something. And in 2009, I had one of my coaches tell me, you know, it's time for you to get up to speed here and to, you know, get on social networking and get something on for a bigger group than just your 100 that can fit on the phone. And so that's when I moved over to Blog Talk Radio, and God has really blessed that ministry too. We're up to getting close to 200,000 international listeners, national and international, and just praising God for the blessing on that ministry as well. And that's one of the things I really love doing, is every week sharing a training with someone who's been there and done that for the planners and the leaders.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. 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 So we've been doing this just about the same amount of time.
I know. When you were telling me your story, actually, I was like, wow, that sounds just like me. That's so funny.
God must have had a plan. What do you think?
I don't know. He never does, you know.
Amen. Amen. But before we close, I wanted to congratulate you and your husband, David, on your recent anniversary. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Amen. And Marnie, again, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or do an interview such as this, or get more information on any of the services you provide, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, Marnie.com, Marnie is my hub. And if you look for me around the web, you can either look for my whole name, like at Facebook or LinkedIn or anywhere, Marnie Swedberg. Otherwise, a lot of times I just go by the handle Mentor Marnie.
Amen. Amen. I'll put all that in the show notes down below. Folks, not only do you need to order a copy of Marnie's book, Feeling Love, Connecting with God in the Minutes You Have, but you need to go down to her website and check out all of the outstanding services and resources she has there. I've put the links down below in the show notes. Go into the show notes, click the links, order her books, check out the radio program. I mean, if you are an event planner or ministry leader, you need to go and check out womanspeakers.com. This website will put you in touch with someone that's been vetted and is ready to bring the Word of God's perspective for whatever event you're planning. Amen. Marnie, thank you again for taking the time for your busy schedule to join us today. I do appreciate it so much.
Oh, so, so fun to be here. Enjoyed this just immensely.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Marnie Swedberg and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.